As we start preparing for BIBA Conference 2024, we've been reflecting on everyone that attends and how, as an industry, we've embraced diversity, equality and inclusion. In this mini-series of the BIBA Pod, we'll recognise not only how far the insurance industry has come, but also what else we can do. Join us as we delve into our guests' valuable insights and stories. Good morning, Jason. Thank you very much for joining me on the BIBA Pod mini-series this morning. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Me too, Sarah. Great to be with you.
Just to frame it, we're talking about diversity and inclusion in the insurance industry. We're particularly today talking about the LGBTQ community, which is something that you're very passionate about. Jason, I wonder if you can talk to me a little bit about your background and the community within the insurance industry.
Sure, Sarah. Very happy to. So I moved to the UK 25 years ago. I grew up in Sydney in Australia. My background really was in politics there, which is a fairly robust background to grow up in, a sort of a good life education, and I think set me up well for the very interesting financial services sector that's in the UK. When I moved over here, I became a journalist in the insurance sector, and I now work at Marsh McLennan, and I'm their international director of external affairs and media relations, and so that covers Marsh, Mercer, Oliver Wyman, and Guy Carpenter, everywhere outside the US and Canada. And that's a relatively new role for me, which I'm still getting used to. But I've now been working in the insurance industry for 25 years, and you know, it's really interesting to see how it's grown and evolved over that time. One of the things that I do is, as you say, very passionate about diversity and inclusion. And I was involved in the Dive In Festival, which hopefully most of the people watching this podcast have heard of, have participated in, or are looking forward to participating in at the end of September this year. And that kicked off as something for the London market and has really caught the imagination of the whole global insurance sector. So last year we had events in 40 countries, 150 events, in those 3 days, and around 35,000 people attended them. And those people came from around about 97 countries, I think it was, around the world. So this is something that people, I think, are increasingly realize is important for success.
So you've mentioned your career started in politics, and you said set you up well for the interesting financial lines in the UK. What do you mean by that?
Well, insurance is so incredibly diverse. The range of issues it touches, the things that get brought up. I think the thing in politics is so many things come at you from a whole range of different areas. And your ability is to see what the issue is, to analyze it, to take away the noise and to work out what a response ought to be. And I think for a lot of the time, that's what the insurance industry is trying to do, is to look at the big problems society faces, come up with a solution that addresses those problems and enables, you know, whole sectors of the economy to be able to grow. And so it's incredibly important. So actually, there are a lot of similarities. I get to play out my my political interests as a councillor in the City of London. I was elected last year. Most of my voters actually work in the insurance sector, so I'm very grateful to any voters who might be watching this. But the City of London Corporation is now spending a lot more time talking about insurance and realising the centrality of insurance to the entire financial and professional services offering that we have in the UK, which has been very gratifying. But it's a you know, an endlessly fascinating industry.
What was it that made you jump from politics and led you into an insurance career?
Well, it's very interesting that you asked that. And we're talking about the LGBT community, of which I am a member. And, you know, when I moved to the UK, I didn't know that many people here. There were a few people that I'd met in Sydney and I knew in London. And one of them, who I know through the sort of people that work in music, who are gay circles, invited me to dinner one night. And I was sort of relatively fresh off the boat, having spent a few months sort of traveling around and getting to know London, and needed to find a job. And this ensued a discussion of what I wanted to do. And I'd sort of, you know, I'd done quite a lot of writing at university. I was halfway through a postgraduate diploma in applied finance when I moved to the UK. And I don't know, for some reason, I said maybe financial journalism. And this was a very amusing conversation about potential career options for a bunch of, you know, gay men around a dinner table. And one of them said quite seriously, well, I've just left the Financial Times to start a new publication about insurance, and I need a deputy. And I knew nothing about insurance, but that was it. I became deputy editor of something called Global Insurance Monitor, which no one's ever heard of because it had two subscribers when it folded 3 months later. But that experience was enough to get me a job at what was then called Lloyd's of London Press. And within a year on that, I was editing a reinsurance magazine. And I was made editor just before 9/11. What was really interesting for me was just how central the insurance industry is. This is not news, by the way, to any watchers of this podcast, but how central insurance is to the workings of the global economy. And I was so astonished that this was a terribly terrible secret that the industry was keeping. And there was so much more that the insurance industry could do to tell its story better. And that's where I, you know, wanted to work on the communication side of the industry.
That dinner party sounds like it was incredibly pivotal in your career and the fact that you've got into the insurance industry. And I've spoken to quite a lot of people who fell into the industry. And I think it's quite interesting that you've got that really defined moment. And you mentioned that you're at a dinner party. What's your experience of the insurance industry in supporting diversity and inclusion, specifically the LGBTQ community, from 25 years ago to now?
I think it's changed enormously. You know, the industry was very much, you know, you'd be called out if you wore brown shoes into the office. It was very, you know, having gone to, people think of Sydney as a sort of very liberal kind of society, but Sydney's surprisingly conservative. And having gone to a relatively conservative private school with all sorts of regulations about clothing and hair, and the insurance industry was very familiar to me because it felt like a continuation of that very sort of old school kind of mentality. And, you know, I had to be very careful about who I came out to. You know, there were certain, you know, people that I felt comfortable sort of telling, and there were others who I knew would treat me differently, you know, not be as open or as good sources, or, you know, when I came to work within one of the companies, sort of, you know, would think of me differently if I was out. And so I had to keep this sort of ledger in my head about who knew and who didn't. So, you know, people I would sort of talk about my private life, or others that I just would seem just slightly more buttoned up. And that's an incredibly difficult and annoying thing to have to carry around with you. It's just I just accepted it, but it was something that was very unhelpful. And if you compare the industry now to then, I think it's changed out of sight, which is not to say that we don't still have a long way to go. But I think if people are prejudiced, they certainly don't feel that they're able to talk about that in the workplace. And I think genuinely, and attitudes to the LGBT community have changed hugely, that people are now feel much more able to come out, certainly once you've been in the industry a while. One of the things that I think that we need to learn about is making sure that we feel we're a welcoming place, especially for young people. You know, there are appalling stats. There was a statistic that, it was the only recent statistic that I recent-ish statistic I knew of, that a survey was done in the US about 10 or 15 years ago that said two-thirds of young people who are out at university go back into the closet in their first job, which is an appalling stat. But those, and of course, one assumes that that had got better for young people. But a fantastic charity called Just Like Us, and just like us, sort of recruits young professionals to go back into schools and into universities to talk about their experiences and what it's like making that leap from education into the world of work if you're LGBT, how to be a good ally. They did a survey of people that they know, and it's still around half of people go back into the closet in their first job in the UK and in 2022. I mean, it's a shocking statistic. Oh. And I like to think that in financial professional services, that percentage is a bit lower than, say, it might be in, you know, in retail or construction or other sectors. But I don't think we're probably that much better. And, you know, one of the things that I think people ought to do is, if you recruited someone that happened to be LGBT, how would they feel about talking about it? You know, it's a big thing to do in your job when you rely on that for your income, to be able to pay the rent, to be able to pay the bills. You know, if you think there's any reason not to talk about something, you won't. And it can be a simple thing of just having, you know, a pride flag, saying that you're celebrating Pride Month, and having an LGBT colleague network, anything like that enables people to sort of talk about it. And why is this important, Sarah? I mean, this is the crucial thing. And, you know, we mentioned the Dive In Festival earlier. The theme for this year's festival is about unlocking innovation. And really, it's the power of creating those kind of inclusive workplaces where people feel able to talk about themselves that really make them more productive and contribute more ideas. There's all sorts of studies, most notably one by McKinsey, that talks about people who are able to talk more about, bring their whole selves to work, you know, what makes them tick, are much more productive and much better colleagues. You know, this has been consistent studies that have found this over many, many years. And it absolutely rings true. You think about what we as an industry are having to deal with. I mean, there are plenty of issues in the UK from the cladding of high-rise buildings to the cost of living crisis, you know, all sorts of really, you know, really quite fundamental problems with the clients that we deal with day to day. And then if you look at, you know, firms like ours that sort of play in that international sector, you know, how do we assist Ukraine? How do we get some of the grain and other foodstuffs out of Ukraine that can feed the world? You know, how do we deal with supply chains? How do we deal with the growing geopolitical tensions around the world? You know, these are questions that our clients are wanting us to help them tackle. And to be able to do that effectively, we need to be incredibly innovative as an industry. We need to come up with solutions and ideas that we've never had to come up with before. You know, how do we, you know, fast track the energy transition? I mean, all of these are really very important to our industry. And to do that, we need as wide a pool of people as possible. So the insurance industry that I joined 25 years ago, where people tended to look and sound very similar, came from very similar backgrounds, is not an industry that's going to be able to tackle and deal with the huge variety of different issues, you know, much wider than it was 25 years ago that we now have to face. So it's a business imperative that we tackle this, that, you know, our firms are bringing in a wider set of ideas. And that's why diversity and inclusion is why I'm such a passionate advocate. Having moved here, and I love London, and it's a wonderful hub for financials, professional services, you know, the UK, and it helps, of course, across all of the UK. And we have a wonderful network of brokers that do a fantastic job all over the country. Is, you know, I want it to succeed, and I want it to be the best it possibly can be. And to do that, we do need to change the culture within our industry and keep changing it as we have done over the last couple of decades.
I think it's really fascinating you say that, because I've had a few conversations recently around the need for creativity in the insurance industry. And I think when the outside of insurance person hears insurance, the word creativity and innovation don't jump out immediately. I think that's probably fair to say. But there's a lot of work and a lot of conversations going on within the industry about the importance of both of those things. So I love what you're saying about different people have different mindsets, different thought patterns, and we need all of that in the community to be able to grow. I think it's absolutely fabulous. What so you've mentioned things like having an LGBTQ representative within a firm, having pride flags up. Talk to me about Dive In and how that is impacting the insurance industry, because I think it's a phenomenal thing that you're doing.
I think it's really caught people's imagination and it's made people think differently. So one of the things that we've always tried to do at all of our Dive In festivals is really be practical and have in every session something that people can go away and change within their team or talk about change within their company or even change the way that they work themselves. It's something that, you know, there's always something that makes you think a little bit differently, or actually I can do something on this issue. And we try and bring out new and different elements of this each year. You know, for example, last year we had a talk, one of our most popular events at the Dive In Festival, something about menopause. Now, I'm someone who has a wide range of friends, a lot of female friends of many ages, and I thought, you know, I had a pretty good handle on what menopause meant. I attended the session, I realized I knew nothing. Absolutely nothing about what women go through in menopause. And actually, as someone who manages, you know, over the last few years, a couple of women who've gone through menopause, I realized, gosh, you know, I probably could have done that better. And, you know, it's important that we realize that we want to get the most out of people, but at the time of their life when they're going through changes, we need to be a bit more flexible on, you know, how we do that. We get them through that and they continue their career trajectories. And, you know, it's just getting you to think a little bit differently. And that's something that I think has really spurred a lot of people to sort of talk about, actually, what kind of training do we offer to managers about managing, you know, women going through menopause? And, you know, 2 years ago, we really had the first big public discussion on neurodiversity in the insurance industry and what it meant, you know, for people with autism or ADHD or dyslexia, other areas of neurodiversity, and actually how should the industry respond to that? And, you know, not just respond, but also encourage. You know, people with autism have a huge amount to give to the insurance industry. And, you know, once again, we find ourselves behind banking, which realized this many years ago and has been very actively recruiting people from the neurodiverse community. But what that did, it started a discussion and people go, actually, gosh, we really ought to think about this. And I had a lot of anecdotal feedback that people felt for the first time that they were able to come out to their managers as autistic, and how beneficial people found it to be able to talk about something that was quite a fundamental part of their life. But a lot of people had felt that it might be career limiting if they'd sort of raised it in the workplace. And actually, by bringing it out into the open, showing that it was something that was a positive, not a negative, people were able to talk about it more. And we're having, you know, organizations like GAIN are talking about neurodiversity. So that's something that the Dive In Festival has really helped to kick off. And before COVID, all of our events tended to be in person, or they were recorded and a version of them was put online. Of course, during COVID, all of our events were virtual, and we've now gone back to having hybrid. So we'll have a lot of in-person events, but many of those will be live streamed or certainly recorded and then put on our YouTube channel. But that has enabled people to understand issues in different countries, because in the UK, we understand what our issues are quite well. But it was very interesting. I remember a couple of years ago attending an event in Singapore where they were talking about mental health. And of course, there remains huge amounts of stigma in Asia about talking about mental health in the workplace. And just hearing the way that people, you know, we're encouraging, you know, how in Asian workplaces can we be more open about mental health challenges? And that was really fascinating. And, you know, in the Middle East, particularly trying to encourage women. So, look, you know, Dive In has had, I think, a huge knock-on impact, not just in the UK, but in the whole global insurance sector, and has really helped, I think, to change the culture. A lot more people see the need to address these issues and to make changes. And that's incredibly gratifying as the Dive In chair to watch.
I think it's really fascinating because I speak to quite a lot of people in the African insurance industry across Africa, from Mauritius to South Africa and various places in between. people across Europe, a couple of people in America, and it's really interesting to see some of the themes that we're really tackling here are being tackled in Kenya. And there's sometimes a different sort of visual over it, or a slightly different way of coming at it. But essentially, they're the same themes. And I absolutely love that when you look across the globe and you see all of these connecting dots. I think it's absolutely fascinating, particularly for an industry that is global and is impacted by global events.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if we get to be seen as an industry in, you know, I take Nigeria. Nigeria is Nigeria takes the dive-in festival with great gusto. I think it's the only country in the world where the main national newspapers cover the launch of dive-in with great fanfare. But, you know, we are seen, I think it helps to the insurance industry there to be seen as somewhere where women can have a really good career. And, you know, that's, I think that's incredible, you know, dive-in and its presence there enables us to do that. And I, you know, it's very gratifying to see that actually the insurance industry can be seen to be taking a lead on some of these issues, which is not something you might have said 10 or 15 years ago.
I have got maybe one final question for you. You have had an incredibly diverse experience of jobs and industries. And I mean, comms in the insurance industry itself is diverse, right? What would your advice or advices, if that's a word, be to people, young people entering the industry now from a community like LGBTQ or neurodiverse community or, I don't know, 40-year-old women community? What would your advice be to them about bringing their whole self to work and not necessarily new entrants? How do you give people that confidence?
Well, one of the great things that I love about the insurance industry is that it feels like a big family, and that's not true with a lot of other industry sectors. So, you know, you work in insurance and there's a, oh wow, you know, you're part of the club kind of a thing. And one of the things that we've done really well as an industry, and it is slightly London centric, but we're increasingly in the regions as well, is there are organizations that are across the entire sector, you know, that focus on different elements of diversity and inclusion. And actually the first one formed was called LINC, or is called LINC. I was at this week, I was at their 10th anniversary dinner held in London, which seems like a, you know, it's gone through huge change. And it used to be essentially a bunch of mostly gay men getting together for drinks in a bar in the city once a month to sort of network, and sort of what it's become is a professional network of that is truly inclusive, all elements of the LGBT spectrum, and something which is really highly recognized, helping a lot of firms across the industry to tackle some of the, you know, the important issues of LGBT inclusivity, but also a place to network not just for people within the LGBT community, but for allies as well, you know, the importance of allies. And so joining one of those groups, and so it doesn't have to be the LGBT group, there are networks for women, people from ethnic backgrounds, military veterans as well. The Lloyd's military network is incredibly strong. You know, there's GAIN for people in neurodiverse. There's a huge spectrum of organizations that people can get involved in, and I'd encourage them. You don't have to be part of that particular community. You can be an ally as well, and someone who wants to encourage them or find out more. You know, the Lloyd's Partner Networks is a good place to go to find out more about some of those networks. So that's one place you can go. As a young person joining the industry, my advice would be curious. Go and talk to as many people as you possibly can. Ask them what they do. There's a huge range of different roles that people fulfill in the industry and, you know, sectors that they're involved in. And it really is a family. And so it's, you know, go out and sort of work out what people do, and you'll find something, I'm sure, that really takes your interest. So many people end up falling into this industry by accident. But when they get in there, they discover this Aladdin's cave of fascinating insights and really, you know, really very important work for the functioning of a, you know, a well-ordered society. go and find out what makes them tick. It's what I've been doing for the last 25 years, and I've absolutely loved it.
I think that is really sound advice, and it's been really interesting to talk to you. I could talk to you for hours on end. I would love to learn more from you. So I just want to say a huge thank you on behalf of me, but also for everybody listening. And I also would like to open to say anybody listening that knows of any other groups that can be supportive in our industry, please send them in, and we can do what we can to disseminate. So Jason, thank you. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Sarah.